is war. And what we are involved in as children of God in this world, it's war. It may not feel like it. It may not always look like it, but this is war. And some of us who are struggling know that very well, right? So we're going to continue this morning. This is war. And I want to talk for a while this morning about do not be afraid, all right? We're going to continue this specific part about fear next week. The young adults met yesterday, and they were talking about some of these things, mental health, and I think all of us need that as well, because we live, it's a time of fear, isn't it? It's a time of stress. It's a time of uncertainty, of anxiety, of worry, of doubt, all of these things. And all of these things, I believe, sort of, it's water from the same well, and it's the well of fear. It's the well of fear. And this is something that, this is one of the main attacks of the enemy. And so I want us, what I feel like God has put on my heart today for us is to continue along these veins. So it's war, but do not be afraid. So how does the enemy attack? We talked about this last week. And when the enemy attacks, it is often unexpected, right? It is often, we don't see it coming. We have not prepared for it. We are caught by surprise. And the psalmist in Psalm 91 talks about this. Look at this again. So you can, as we look at this, you can see how he writes. And so that tells us how the enemy attacks. Look at verses 3 through 6. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. What's a fowler? That's not a word we use so much, right? What's a fowler? Trick question. A hunter of birds, right? Somebody who hunts birds. And so a bird trap is always, it's always hidden. It's always it's not seen, so as to catch the bird unexpectedly. And so the writer talks about how God protects us from the fowler's snare. We don't see that. Deadly pestilence, we don't see that, right? We think of, remember COVID and SARS, those of us who've been around here for a while. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Then verse 5, you will not fear the terror of night. Everything's worse at night, right? How many of you at night have had really illogical fear and anxiety? Thank you, Marianne. You and I have illogical fears and anxieties. You wake up in the middle of the night and you start thinking like, oh, and you're half awake and you're half asleep, but mostly you're anxious, right? And your heart starts beating fast. The enemy works this way. He does. And so the writer says, God will protect you from that. You won't fear the arrow that flies by day. What type of attack is an arrow? An arrow is something that you don't hear until it hits you. And then you feel it when it hits you, right? That's what an arrow is. It's different from a gun or something else like that. Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. And these verses, especially verses 3 and 5 and 6, tell us about one of the main attacks of the enemy. When we began this, I mentioned to us, I believe there are three main attacks that the enemy uses. One of them is fear. And the Bible's full of that, right? There are so many examples of the enemy coming against God's people and fear rising up. What's one of the other attacks? Anger, I believe, is one of the other attacks. And there are things that go with anger as well. And the Bible's very clear about that. So there's anger. And I believe that the other main attack of the enemy is doubt. Okay? And we can think of examples of this. Now, are there others? Of course, you know, he's fairly creative. But these three, fear, anger, doubt, are the main ones by which the enemy attacks us. And it's related, as we'll see as we get into this. So as we look at this, I want you to, can you think of a time, give me a Bible example. We could certainly give personal examples, right? Can you think of a Bible example when the enemy attacked through anger? Think for just a minute. Book of Genesis, chapter 4. Cain and Abel. And Cain was angry because Abel's sacrifice to God was accepted. His wasn't. And God warns him. What does God say? Cain, sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it. But Cain didn't master it. It mastered him. And out of anger came murder. The first murder on the earth. The first human blood that was shed. So this tells us something about the attacks of the enemy and how he works. What often happens is when the enemy attacks, it begins with something small, and it will be maybe a seed. It's something small. But a seed always grows, and it produces fruit. And that fruit is good fruit, or it's bad. If it is a seed that comes from God, it will produce good fruit in our lives. If it's a seed from the enemy, it will produce bad fruit in our lives. And so that's why God tells us, guard your heart. Guard your heart. So that's one of them. So can you think of an attack of doubt? Again, the book of Genesis. The first attack against the man and the woman that God had created. Genesis chapter 3. What does it say? And the serpent came to Eve and said, what did the serpent say? Did God really say this? That's an attack of doubt. And so that is also how, that's also one of the main attacks of the enemy. And then this morning we're going to look at fear. So many examples of that. So as we see this, I want us to look at some of these examples, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the devil. I'd like us to talk about God and his solution. And as we go through this, I want us to see how God gives us answers as we look at this together. If you are overwhelmed or you're living with worry, anxiety, and fear, you are in good company. Sorry to say. It's a bad thing to be in, but you're in good company. Can you remember some of the people in the Bible who were living with fear or were attacked by fear? Genesis, I'm not going to give you the scriptures, but Genesis 15:1, God appears to Abraham and he says to Abraham, Abraham, do not be afraid. I'm your shield and I'm your great reward. It doesn't say that Abraham was afraid, but of course he was. And he was being attacked because God said, Abraham, don't be afraid. So you're in company with Abraham this morning. Who else are you in company with? You're in company with Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. And we've talked about that a lot, haven't we? You're in company with Gideon. I like that guy, Gideon. I think he's one of Claire's favorites. Right, Claire says, yep, that's right. Gideon is so full of faith and fear, as we often are also, right? God says, I want you to do this. Okay, but God, what about this? And God says, okay, I'll help you with that. And then the very night before the battle, remember what God says to Gideon? God says, Gideon, just before they're going to fight, God says to Gideon, this is in Judges 6 and 7, I think. Let me double check. Yeah, Judges 6. God says to Gideon, if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp and listen to what they are saying. And Gideon goes down to the camp, right? That tells us he was fighting fear. He was dealing with fear. What about Elijah? I love this man. I love this prophet. Here's Elijah. I mean, was there anyone greater than Elijah in the Old Testament? Probably not, although Elisha did double the miracles and things like that. But we look at Elijah. And Elijah, by the way, was probably a young man. Not we think of old gray beard. He was a young man. Here's Elijah. He prays for 3 years. There's no rain. Then he prays, the people come together, he prays, God sends fire from heaven, he prays again, rain comes within the space of an hour or two, and then the wicked queen Jezebel says, I'm going to have his life. And you know what the very next verse says? This is in 1 Kings 19:3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And I think you're in that company this morning. After all these great miracles of God. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. God does great things in our lives, doesn't he? He really does. And yet, the enemy continues to attack us with fear, does he not? Yes, he does. If you want to think about his toolbox, I think that's the number one weapon, if you want to think about it that way, that he uses. And others as well. Paul, he's in Corinth, and the Lord appears to him in a vision. Now, you might say, Paul was never afraid. Here's Paul in the New Testament, greatest apostle ever. In Acts chapter 18, in Corinth, God appears to Paul in a vision, and he says to him, do not be afraid. You know what that means? He was afraid. He was having doubts. You know what else God says? Now this tells you something. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you. So, we're in good company, but in all of these examples, what we see is God gives a way out. Not to run from fear, but to deal with fear. God gives us weapons, spiritual weapons, to fight the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the uncertainty that attacks you. I am all for any sort of medical help that is needed. God uses doctors and medicine. But God also uses his spiritual weapons, brothers and sisters. And if the only thing we rely on is what is physically available to us in this world, we will never win a spiritual battle. We will never win a spiritual attack. The Bible is so very clear because it says in the Word of God, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual forces, these spiritual powers, and spiritual attacks and spiritual forces that are against us must be fought with spiritual weapons, and those spiritual weapons come from the hand of a powerful and mighty God, that we might fight, that we might stand, that at the end of the battle we are still standing, and that we will overcome. It is not God's plan for you to be a casualty of war. It is God's plan for you to be an overcomer. And in his word, brothers and sisters, he gives us all that we need. He shows us. He doesn't just say, okay, well, I hope you do okay. God bless you. He gives us what we need in this world. And this is why we're looking at this morning. Okay. Amen? Amen. Okay. Here are four things you need to know about this battle that we fight. This is all the battles, not just the battle against fear. Ready? Here, number one. You need to know your God. Okay, if you're taking notes, you can take this. This is number one. Here are the things, there are specifics, but here's what you need. You need to know your God. Who is your God? We talked about this last week, Psalm 91. So if you're saying, tell us about our God, you go back and listen to last week. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, another name of God. I will say of the Lord, another name of God. He is my refuge, my rock, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. A fourth name of God, whereby he reveals himself. So you have to know your God. That's number one in this battle. Amen? Amen. This is fast, by the way. Okay. Number two, you have to recognize how the enemy operates. I'm not talking about making a study of the devil. Now, what does he do? Now, what are all his names? Now, blah, 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 blah. I'm not talking about that. The Bible tells us what we need to know about the enemy, and that's enough, right? Don't get off on a tangent. Don't get all weird. Don't get all whatever. God will tell you what you need to know. You don't have to have classes about, well, there's this and there's that and there's all those other things. Just stay with the Bible and what God says. So you need to know how your enemy operates. Because a lot of times we just think, it's just me, right? What's wrong with me? I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm this. I'm that. And we think, well, it's me. And well, I understand it's me because that's what I grew up with. Well, this is, as Keith said, oh, depression, well, it runs in my family and my dad. And if we excuse these things, we say, well, that's just the way it is, then we fail to recognize the attack of the enemy, and then we don't grab the spiritual weapons that God gives us by which we defeat the enemy with God's strength and God's weapons. Amen? Amen. Number three, know the spiritual weapons and the provision that God gives you to fight. That's number three. You need to know what God gives you. Hang on. Ha! Did number two disappear also?
It wasn't there, but it's okay now.
Okay. Oh, well, hang on. I don't like that. Wait just a minute. Okay. That's what it's supposed to look like. Sorry. I tried to get tricky with motion. I'm not going to do that anymore. Animation. Aren't you glad I'm a better preacher than I am a techie? That's a good thing, isn't it? Okay. So know your God, recognize how the enemy operates, and then number three, know the spiritual weapons and the provision that God gives you to fight. This is key, brothers and sisters. We've got to know what God puts in your hands. If we don't know that, you know what we're going to fight with? We're going to fight with what we know. We're going to fight with our feelings. We're going to fight with, I'm angry at that person. We're going to think, it's this person that's against me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy will do his best. This goes back to number two. The enemy will do his best for you to get you to keep your eyes on that person you see, on that boss that you see, on that situation, on that doctor's report, on that feeling, on this, on that. Those things are real. We live in a physical world, but we live in a world that is broken where the enemy fights against God's people. He hated God first, and then he hates God's creation. And so you have to know, I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm going to fight where it makes a difference. And so know the spiritual weapons and provision that God gives you to fight. And here's the fourth one. Use them. Use them. I know people that have all the knowledge up here, but they don't take them up in their hands and use them. You got to do more than know. You've got to use. You've got to. You've got to. When you start to, let me just give an example. When maybe something, an attack comes against you and you're not really thinking it's the devil, you just start feeling, I'm worthless, or I can't do this, or everything, whatever. You've got to use, what do you use? Ephesians chapter 6, you use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that fights against and defeats the lie that the enemy said to you that you are worthless. Psalm 139 says, you are fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully made. Before one of your days came to be, God knew them. He has watched you from your conception until this moment. The hairs of your head, they're numbered. I have fewer hairs than I used to have, but God knows the number of them, and he knows their color. Ephesians 2:10, you are God's masterpiece, creation, work of art, created again in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God has planned long ago for you to do. And so when the enemy comes to you and says, you're worthless, you can't do this, you're not very good, how do you think you can? That is when you have to use the weapon that God gives you. And that weapon is not, I'm good. No. You take up the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and you say, I am a child of God. I am God's masterpiece. His eye is upon me. He loves me. His plans for me will succeed. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In him, we are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's one of the weapons, and you've got to use them. Okay, that was on the side. Okay, here we go. All right, so let's look at the first one. So here are the four. Got them? Okay. Know your God. This is simple, but there's a lot that goes with it. But this works. You know why? It's God's plan. It's God's plan. I'm not that smart. I didn't go look in a book somewhere. I didn't whatever. I studied the Word of God and I prayed. This works because it's God's. Okay, let's talk real briefly about the first one, know your God, all right? So we looked at that briefly last week in Psalm 91, and I want to give you a very quick example from Mark chapter 4, just to illustrate this. Okay, look at Mark chapter 4. This is a New Testament story. Jesus has already performed many, many miracles. He's already, he's healed people. He's performed other miracles. He has cast demons out of people. And his disciples, all 12 of them, have been with Jesus and they have seen him do it. Okay, so get that, because you and I have seen Jesus do things also, right? Okay, what does it say? Jesus said to his disciples, come on, let's go across the lake. This is Sea of Galilee. Most of his disciples are from that area. Most of his disciples are experienced fishermen, okay? They know the lake. This is where they have made their living. So it's not something new to them. It's not something that they don't know how to handle. It's not an area of which they are unaware. This is important, right? So they start across. Jesus is sleeping. He's so tired. Now look at verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. That word fierce, verse 37, in the Greek, it's the word megas, like mega, you know, like super big, right? Super big. And it says, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. I love this part. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Why? Because Jesus knew that no weapon formed against him will prosper. Jesus knew that. Why? Because he knew his Father. And he knew the plan that God had for him. You see, that's where, we're going to talk about peace next week. That is where our peace comes. It's one of the sources of our peace. Knowing your life, brothers and sisters, it is in God's hands. The enemy has zero power to snatch you out of God's hands. He has zero power. The hand of God? Devil's going to get you out of God's hands? No way. But look at the disciples. The disciples woke him up shouting. I wish I could have been there. I want to see this in heaven on the great replay screen. I really want to see this. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? So look at that just a minute and think about it. Here are the disciples. They've been with Jesus. They've seen him do these things. But obviously, they don't know God. They don't know Jesus, right? Why? What do they say? Don't you care? We're drowning. We're drowning. Here's the thing. You and I are sometimes the same way, aren't we? We get in situations, right? It's true. We're laughing because it's so true. It's so true. And in our frustration, and in our anger at times, and in our fear, we feel like, God, look what's going on here, right? We do. That's human nature. Well, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Because if you give in to that, fear's got you. You're swamped. And so the disciples say to Jesus, don't you care? Well, here's the answer. Does Jesus care? Yes or no? Of course he cares. Of course he cares. We can say it to the disciples, but sometimes we have to say it to ourselves, right? We have to say it to ourselves. So look at what happens next. Jesus wakes up. He rebukes the wind, says to the water, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Look at verse 39, great calm. That word great is the same as fierce, translated differently, but it's exactly the same word. It's megas. It's megas. How many of you, Saturday afternoon, Typhoon 3, okay? How many of you were out around in Hong Kong, Typhoon 3, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening? Anybody? How wild and windy was it?
Nothing.
It was so still, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't just calm. It was super hot. But it was amazing. At least where I was, not even any wind. I mean, not even leaves were moving a little bit. Totally calm. I think it's kind of like that. When Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, and then a great calm. And then, what does Jesus say? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Look at verse 41. They were terrified, and they said, who is this man? Even the winds and waves obey him. That tells us they did not know Jesus, right? They did not know Jesus. I want to ask you something this morning, especially if you're dealing with fear and worry and it's ongoing. Do you know your God? Do you know your God? I think most of us this morning here, we would say, yes, I know my God. But when we are in the battle and when the attack is coming, that is when we've got to go beyond. Yes, I know that God can. Yes, I know that God. And that's when the Word of God, who shows us what God is like, who He is, His love for you, His powerful love for you, His unbreakable love for you, His unwavering love for you, that is displayed in His power on your behalf, is surrounding you. And that's when we have to know our God. Amen? Amen. These disciples were so afraid. It was their lake. It was their boat. They knew the wind and the waves, but they couldn't control it. If you and I try to control everything in our lives, listen carefully, we will be in the same place these disciples are in. Because we're in a world that sooner or later we cannot control. And sometimes that's where fear really rises up, right? We want to keep everything controlled. There's only one who can control everything, and that is our God. And that is our God. Amen? Amen. So we've got to know our God. There's much more there. That's just a small one. Okay? So let's go. I think we can. Okay. So let's go more specifically into recognize how the enemy operates. Fear, worry, anxiety, hopelessness, and often with disguises and lies. And I'm going to skip some verses because I want to... that are really wonderful verses, but we'll come to it later. I want to talk about very briefly two purposes of fear attacks from the enemy, okay? I want us to get this morning. I'm trying to be as orderly as possible so that we can get this. In my experience and in my understanding of the Word of God, when the enemy attacks you with fear, he has two purposes, okay? Here are the two purposes of a fear attack. The first one is to stop you. The second one is to steal from you. Okay? So we won't get to steal from you this morning, but let me just go ahead and just say this, because you know this already. John 10:10. Ready? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his whole purpose. And then we love the second part. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have abundant life, life more abundantly. So one of the purposes of the fear attack is that the enemy wants to steal from you. What does, you already know this, what does the enemy want to steal from you when he attacks you with fear? What? Thank you. That's right. Carol said it softly. She was afraid it might be the wrong answer. But A plus, Carol, that's it. Peace. Is that what you said? That's right. She was right. It's peace. The enemy wants to steal peace from you. Ah, there's so much there. He wants to steal your peace. And that's really, okay. Remember what Jesus said? John 14, when he was getting ready to go to the cross. What, among many things, what is one of the main gifts that Jesus gives to those? That's right. That's right. I give you peace. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. It's a gift from Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen? So what does the enemy target? What does the enemy want to steal when he hits you with fear? In whatever way. It may be small, subtle, worry, what if. It may be overwhelming. It may be paralyzing. It may be panic. It may be anxiety. It may be any one of these things. But it's the same. It's the same weapon. It's the same weapon. He wants to steal your peace. You and I both know, we all know, when we don't have peace of heart and peace of mind, it is tormenting, isn't it? It is tormenting. Some of you are dealing with that this morning. So I want to just go ahead and tell you right now. God gives you peace. He gives you peace. He gives you peace. This is his gift to you. We're going to talk next week about how we receive the gift of peace, keep the gift of peace, and not let the devil steal it from us. Amen? But in the few minutes that we have left this morning, let's look at this part. One of the purposes of the devil, one of the two purposes in a fear attack, is to stop you. It's to stop you. Now, you remember the verse that we read? Paul is in Corinth. No, I just read it to you. It's in Acts. God appears, the Lord, so that's Jesus. When it says the Lord in the New Testament, it's Jesus. The Lord appears to Paul. He has a very successful ministry. Many people are coming. Oh, I do have it. Ha! Okay, sorry. Okay. The Lord said to Paul in a night vision, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to hurt you, because I have many people in this city. And he stayed there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Here's a very, very clear picture. Please don't say, but I'm not Paul, and I don't have a great work. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's creation. And Ephesians 2:10 says that he created good works for you to do. Things for you to do that nobody else can do. He's made you in a special way. I'm so sorry. I'm going to put Claire on the spot. I was talking with Claire this week, and we were talking about prayer. We were texting back and forth about prayer, and sorry, Claire, and she made some joke about being a little weird. Young adults, you know she's a little bit weird, right? I don't want to say weird. That sounds whatever, but she'll tell you that. Let's say quirky. That's so much nicer, isn't it? It's quirky. So Psalm 139 says, I praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I texted back to her, yes, you are fearfully, wonderfully, and weirdly made. Don't take that in a bad way. Take it in a good way, because God has made you in particular ways to do things that you can do really well. that somebody else can't do as well as you. And if you feel like, no, that's not me, I can't, then guess what? The enemy has attacked you with a lie. And you may be afraid, no, I can't do that. No, I can't. What's one of his purposes? To stop you. To stop you from what God has for you, from what God wants you to do. The enemy's trying to stop you. I'm going to use Ida as an example too. You can scold me later. So years ago, I had prayed, and it was time to add board members to the board here in Lighthouse. And I was really praying, Lord, who are your choices? Who are your people? And so God spoke very clearly. Sorry, Ida, I'm just going to, that's okay, you know. And so I contacted Ida and I said, Ida, I believe that you should join the board. And her immediate response was, no, 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 I cannot do that. Absolutely not. No, I cannot do that. Now, what does the enemy do? He tries to stop us, right? And so many of us, God puts an open door before us. God puts an opportunity, right? All of us in different ways, maybe big, maybe small, but uniquely, a unique door for you to walk through, a unique opportunity for you to fulfill. And the enemy will stop you if he can. So fortunately, the Lord gave me enough wisdom instead of accepting, okay, no, to say, okay, well, don't say no to me. You talk to God about it and see what God says to you. And 3 days later, she came back and said, okay. Why? The enemy wanted to stop. And those of us that have been around her have known that in her capacity as a Filipina and as a domestic helper and as part of Lighthouse from almost the beginning, that Ida has been a blessed board member and a blessing to the church. Amen? Amen. I'm just using, okay, I'm going to put Stephen on the spot too. God had put in my heart some time ago, sorry, Stephen, that Stephen should speak. I said, Stephen, and I knew he was super busy. Everybody's super busy. He was so busy. And then I said, Stephen, I think. And he said, And then a few weeks later, he came back and said, oh, okay. I don't know if it was fair. It may have just been busy. It may have just been busy. But what I want to say as we come to a close this morning is this. God has plans for you. I don't care your age. It does not matter if you are imperfect and kind of broken this morning. It doesn't matter if you don't have it all together yet. God has plans for you, and he's going to help you fulfill those plans. And the enemy will attack you with fear and doubt and a lack of confidence and, no, I can't let someone else do it instead of me, because he wants to stop you. Because in the pathway of God's plans for your life, brothers and sisters, there is great fulfillment. There's great satisfaction. It's not easy. It's not easy. But as you walk in God's pathway and God's plan, your life will be fulfilled. You will find pleasure in relationship with God. Not work, 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 work for God, but just God's walking with you and working with you. And he's fulfilling his plans in your life. And it won't always be big, huge things. It will be things that will make you happy. It will be things that will enlarge your life. And sooner or later, it will be things that will touch other people's lives also. It will. It will. Because God plants good seeds and he brings good fruit. So the enemy's going to try to stop you with fear. And you cannot let him. You cannot let him recognize the attack of the enemy. We're going to close here. But I want to give you, I'm going to give you some homework. You go back and you read one of my favorite chapters in the whole Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 6. It's one of the great chapters. It truly is. Nehemiah 6, here's this man of God that has to rebuild the wall. And the whole chapter is fear, 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 fear. You will be so encouraged when you read that chapter. It's one of the great ones. My favorite verse. You go ahead. I'll go ahead and tell you. See what your favorite verse is. Nehemiah says, I am involved in a very great work. Why should it stop if I come down from the wall to talk for you, to talk with you? Don't stop what God has for you to do. Nehemiah chapter 6. We'll look at that next week. Amen? And we'll see how we can over... We'll see how Nehemiah overcame, and we'll see how we can overcome too. And then next week, we'll also talk about how the enemy tries to steal. So he tries to stop, he tries to steal. These are the two goals of fear attacks. And God gives us his mighty weapons to defeat, crush, crumble, and overcome every attack of the enemy in our lives. Amen? Let me pray for you. Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can do all things through the one who gives us strength. We thank you, O Lord, that in you we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We thank you, O Lord, that you say in your word that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord. God, your word says that we take up weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left hand. We thank you, O God, that your word says that the weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood weapons, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down and the crushing and the tearing down of every stronghold that the enemy has tried to build in our heart, in our thoughts, in our family, in our circumstances. But our weapons are mighty through God. We thank you, O God, that in your word you say, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. God, the testimony of our mouths will be what your word says about us and not the lies of fear with which the enemy attacks us. Hallelujah. We will take up the sword of the Spirit that you give us, and we will stand. Thank you, O God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.